Seven comes out. Algiers in there by himself now. Pitch to the right. Hodge, Mooney, and McLeod to the left. Snap to Cousins. Off the 11 after the loss of two. Kirk throws. Oh, my heavens! Wide open! Ray McLeod! Touchdown, Atlanta!
Thank you to West Durham. Falcons Radio, welcome to the show. Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. Yes, Falcons win, Perloff, but the Dallas Cowboys lose. They don't just lose the game, though. Mm-hmm. That'd be easy. You see, the Cowboys, they lose a lot. But they also lost Dak Prescott in this game, and for a while they lost CeeDee Lamb to a shoulder injury. Dak Prescott has a hand injury and a hamstring injury. They are both getting twin MRIs today, and quite frankly, I don't think that the Cowboys season is salvageable. But if these guys have to miss any extended period, especially Dak Prescott, that's it. I mean, your season is already, to me, over. You're not making the playoffs. And if you're not making the playoffs, who cares if you're the Dallas Cowboys? But if Dak is out, good night.
When you say twin MRIs, are they like holding hands? And
it's like a couples massage?
Yeah, that'd be fun to see. It's very bad. But I will just say a glimmer of hope. They haven't really started their NFC East schedule yet. And I just think that the NFC East is sneaky overrated. Because I don't think the Eagles are great, and I don't think the Commanders are great. And I know the Giants are bad. So let me say there's a scenario where Prescott's not hurt. Doesn't seem like that. Say there's a scenario where CeeDee Lamb can actually get tackled and not have to grab his shoulder. Say De'Ron Bland and Micah Parsons come back next week. Then maybe at least they play spoiler 8-9, 9-8. I don't think that's out of the realm of possibility. I'm finally giving up on the playoffs, but I don't think that they're necessarily designed. I don't think they're going to run out the schedule and be like 4-13. I think they could win.
They'd be better off if they were.
They were,
frankly.
But if you get Micah, De'Ron Bland, and these guys back, like there still is something there with this team. I think they're better without Ezekiel. Like, give the ball to Rico Dowdle. Kirk Cousins was just standing there for so much of the game. Like, he just had so many opportunities. Even if Dak was good, it felt like Atlanta could have scored a lot more if they wanted to. They just started to control the ball with Bijan.
Yeah, it wasn't even, it's about Kirk Cousins and having time with a 35-year-old quarterback who's coming off an Achilles. You might want to get him on the move. But then the second part is Atlanta has one of the robust run games. So we talk about the Ravens all the time and finishing off games with Derrick Henry. Well, between Bijan and Algier, this is a great formula when you get a lead. Cowboys can't stop the run. They're making these desperate plays, the trick plays that don't end up working. And everything is just going down the tubes for them. You know, I thought that the team that was just having the season just to like just a horrible season was actually the 49ers, but it's not. It's actually the Cowboys.
Yeah.
The 49ers have had a bad season in terms of injuries and stuff, but the Cowboys, it just feels like it's lost. And the problem, too, is you're going to start questioning, well, you're already questioning the front office because goodness knows they've made so many mistakes, but you're going to start questioning that contract for Dak Prescott. I don't know if you'll question the contract for CeeDee Lamb, but if I'm Micah Parsons, am I coming back? I know I'm getting the money no matter what. It doesn't matter how I play. And I know I'm probably setting up for an off season of nonsense where Jerry's going to say a million different things and finally they'll pay me when it gets to the 11th hour. I don't know what there is to come back for. To play spoiler in the NFC East? Who cares?
They play his hometown team, the Eagles, on Sunday in a big nationally televised game. Kind of feels like a game that Micah Parsons comes back for, knowing Micah Parsons. Guy likes the camera.
Okay.
I understand what you're saying, but I don't know. My hunch says that Micah Parsons does not shut it down, even though you make a great argument he should. I mean, what is it? Does he have a high ankle sprain? I can't remember which injury is which. Like, it's been a long time. Like, this has been a long injury that we did not expect to be that long. He's not going to shut down the season for a high ankle sprain. Maggie, I get that and show up at Saturday morning basketball run the next week. I just don't think that's going to happen. And, yes, of course, the Cowboys are not a good team, but there's a better version of this team than what we saw on Sunday. This, not only were they bad, they were the worst possible thing. They were boring.
Yeah, they were bad. They were boring.
That game was boring to its core.
Well, this is the thing, though. It's a football team. You have to imagine you're not going to get through a season with everyone all healthy. And by the way, last year, they lost Trayvon Diggs. You think he'd be a big part of the defense, and they were still a 12-win team. They've lost players before, and they've still won games. It is different now because they are so paper thin. They have no depth.
Also, Dan Quinn is gone. I know he's terrible in the playoff game, but that seems to be paying a price. Nothing against Mike Zimmer, but Dan Quinn fixed that defense when he got to Dallas, and now they went right back to 2020 defense.
Fair. Here's Jerry Jones after the game, because goodness knows you got to hear from Jerry not giving up on this year's Cowboys team.
I have seen too many times, though, when this thing gets to look dark, I've seen the positive jump up there and go from there. So, personally, I'm a long way from being dismayed about our team, about this year.
Oh, man. More Jerry hinting at the Cowboys' trade deadline moves.
We'll probably do a couple of things this week of note, but if things work out the way we'd like for them to.
Man, you are getting trolled by your owner. Can you imagine? That should make you even more infuriated if Cowboy fans even have, like, can garner, like, enough turn their agitation into anything, or if they're just completely tuned out, the owner and this team. But to come out after you potentially lose your quarterback and your best wide receiver to injuries and to now say we're going to do something in the deadline when you had, this was a big game. And last week was a big game against the 49ers, and you thought to do nothing before those two games.
Right. Well, this is consistent, at least. Remember, he signed Dak way too late. He signed CD way too late. He's going to sign Micah way too late. He seems about 3 weeks behind when he should actually make the move.
Does this have a calendar?
His timing is awful.
It's amazing that a billionaire, you would think that you get to be a billionaire by having impeccable timing, right? Like, you see the market. You read the economy. I don't know. Like, you do all the things that make you a billionaire.
Oh, God, you are so dripping with disdain when you say that word.
Well, I'm saying I'm surprised a billionaire would have bad timing. I think billionaires can have a lot of drawbacks. You would think good timing would probably be one of the positives. How do you make all that money? Not with bad timing. Like, you see things maybe at one step ahead. Jerry is five steps behind. Here's more Jerry. He did say that he is worried about Dak's injury.
Well, I am concerned about that, and it concerned me when I saw the play or saw him have a reaction to any weakness that he might have had there in his hand. We just have to take a look at that.
Okay, so Jerry's concerned. Well, what about Dak Prescott himself? He's the one who suffered the hamstring and the hand injury. He's feeling optimistic.
Got to get a picture of it. When we get a picture of it, I guess we'll see how bad it is, and It'll take a lot for me to not be out there, I'll tell you personally.
Well, all right. Fine. You're going to get out there with a bad hamstring. He already barely runs. He had a run yesterday, got a first down, and it looked like it took him you needed to clock it with a sundial.
Yeah, did they call holding on that? I can't remember because there were so many holding calls on them yesterday. I mean, the whole league is nothing but a giant holding call anymore.
That's true.
Well, I don't get that at all. What is the league office doing? But regardless, the penalties killed them again.
Totally. The offensive line penalties.
And veteran players, too, are making mistakes. There's just some mistakes, coaching mistakes. Let me ask you a question. Should they fire McCarthy midseason if they lose to the Eagles, say?
I would say
they're not well coached.
Because they're not. And they can't get the plays in. I think there was a 12 men in the huddle at one point. I mean, just bonehead.
Yep.
Who's going to take over for him? You handing the keys to Mike Zimmer? You think that he's earned it? I mean, he has a long history with the Cowboys. This is not his first time working for them.
No. You're right. There's no
bones and also fossil too, with a fake punt.
They are always loyal to their head coaches. So, I mean, I just hope for Cowboys fans that they do something radically different this offseason. Let's try a new approach.
Well,
it's time.
Maybe Jerry needs to go take that yacht and just go into international waters for a while and chill out, because who are they going to hire? If they do fire McCarthy or they don't renew his contract, are you bringing in somebody who's just going to be like him? And by that, I mean no disrespect to a guy who's won a Super Bowl and I know has had a lot of success. But he's got to be part of the reason I bet why he was hired, Perloff, is I don't think he's probably disagreeing with Jerry in the front office quite a bit.
I think you're right.
And I don't know how many coaches have the stones to do that, quite frankly, so it's not just a McCarthy thing.
Wow, there's one notable one.
Yeah, Bill Belichick. I don't think they're bringing him in.
I don't either. And also, I'm not sure if Belichick has his choice of teams. This would be the first choice, despite all the glamour and the glitz of the Cowboys. The roster definitely, as you said earlier, very top-heavy. Feels like Dak is now over 30 and injury-prone. I'm not sure Bill Belichick looks at this and be like, wow, that's where I'm going to get my record-setting wins. I don't know. I think this is a very dire situation, especially for one reason. You invested all that money in Dak. Now you can't draft a quarterback. You really don't have that much cap space. You're going to have to pay Micah Parsons.
They didn't have enough cap space for Derrick Henry, famously.
$8 million a year. I know. It's ridiculous.
So 855-212-4227. Things going from bad to worse for the Dallas Cowboys. And we asked you today, EJ, how do we word this this poll question? Because I saw the results were a little lopsided.
Yeah, is the Cowboys season over? Was basically the question. And last I checked, I'll check one more time here. We're at 96% say yes.
Oh, geez.
Wow. Tell us what you really think, America and Canada. 855-212-4227. So that's a little bit of what's going on with the Cowboys. And you're welcome to weigh in on that because, yeah, it's a little Monday morning quarterback, but the Dak Prescott contract is just going to keep looking worse and worse. And, you know, the day after they beat the Pittsburgh Steelers, I was like, oh, you know what? They're glad they have Dak Prescott, but it's been more bad than good.
I'm going to laugh so hard. If Nick Sirianni blows the game and they beat the Eagles, everyone's going to jump right back on that Cowboys bandwagon. So it'll be 4-5. It is a little early. It feels like we have already seen the best version of this team this year, and they're 3-5. Especially if Dak is gone. Although Cooper Rush once again showed a little something late in the game.
He's a fine backup quarterback, that Cooper Rush.
He is rock solid average.
There you go.
Try to get odds on the Cowboys to make the playoffs, and they are not even listed because they have so little chance here. Oh, I know why. Because they're waiting on the two MRIs.
I would imagine they would take those off.
Yeah,
the board
I saw
for
the
now.
Spread went from 2.5 point underdogs against the Eagles to 6.5. Vegas thinks that Dak is out.
Yeah, that's massive for a division game. Yeah. Let's go to our pal Adrian, who's in Maryland. Adrian, the Cowboys, your thoughts?
Guys, I'm a Cowboys fan. My thought, they're not going to make the playoffs. No. I don't know what anybody's even thinking. I guess it just keeps Dallas relevant with you guys talking about them, ESPN talking about them, being the first story of everything, every show that comes on. But
in fairness to us, it's a MVP runner-up last year who got hurt.
Right, I understand that, yeah. but. He shouldn't have got signed, Maggie. He should never got signed. Jerry waited. If you don't sign him in the spring, you don't sign him at all, let him play the year out, and then you go from there. If he makes the Super Bowl and does something, you break the bank for him. That's about it.
Yep.
But right now, I don't think they're going to sign Micah. I think they're going to look to trade Micah and get two first-rounders from him. Because to my looking and my seeing, what I see, he's not an edge rusher. He's too light to be an edge rusher. He's an off-the-ball linebacker. The only way they keep Micah is if they change to a 3-4 defense where he can be that outside linebacker or the off-the-ball linebacker. So all these people talking about Micah's going to get paid, he's going to get paid.
Wait, Adrian, though, hold on, though. You know, if you're a massive Cowboy fan, you know as well as I know, what's the one thing that Jerry Jones and the Cowboys prioritize over everything?
They sign their own players. They sign the people they draft. Because
well,
Jerry
that,
wants to say,
and stars,
I drafted him.
And stars. Stars
right.
And people who, you know, the fans want to buy their jerseys and all of that. And people who fill the building. And I don't think that they would trade Micah Parsons simply for that point. He's a star.
Any normal GM would trade him because they see this team and there's so many holes. You have to fill those holes. There's no way you're going to sign him to $30 million. Then you got CD making $30 million. Then you got Dak making $60 million. Mm. It's crazy.
Yeah. Adrian, let me tell you, there's one team that does run a 3-4. Bring him home, baby.
Oh,
bring Micah Parsons back to Philly,
Adrian. Don't listen to that. Don't listen to that.
I'm not going to listen to that. I'm not going to. Hey,
don't dignify that.
I actually think Dallas is probably going to beat Philly this week.
I do too.
Because Cooper Rush does the right things. He throws to the right places. He doesn't take those chances. And when he came in last time, they prioritized the run game. They're going to try to prioritize the run game. So Cooper Rush doesn't have to win or lose the game for him. And maybe Micah, maybe Bland comes back this week and they get a good effort from the defense.
Man, Adrian, thanks so much. Prioritize the run game, though. With who?
Well, Rico Dowdle actually looked okay yesterday.
Okay, but do you, you know the Eagles' defensive front?
Yeah, I know.
Those guys aren't scrubs.
You could run on them. Yeah, they're pretty good. But that being said, like, this is a divisional game, as you mentioned, so anything can happen. I feel like the Eagles are dying to lose a game, just dying. They're itching to give away a game. The other thing, the one thing, though, Jalen Hurts in a primetime game is going to run a lot, so that gives the Eagles an edge. He beat Cooper Rush a couple years ago, assuming it's Rush. I honestly, like, how much you downgrade, the funny thing, the spread changed so much without Dak. I don't downgrade them that much with Cooper Rush.
Oh, come on.
They could play conservatively. If you get Micah back, maybe. I honestly, it's 6.5. That feels pretty heavy to me.
855-212-4227. Sure. The Eagles are going to beat the Cowboys by a touchdown.
Well, are they going to blow them out?
I think when you win a division game by a touchdown, I think it, unless it's like you're playing the Panthers or something. Although we just saw the Panthers beat the New Orleans Saints. Division games are different. You win by a touchdown, that's a big win.
So you're saying the Commanders blew out the Giants yesterday? Or?
No, but it's convincing. I didn't think they were ever losing that game. 855-212-4227. But that's, we're really focusing on the Cowboys now. Eagles, you guys got your own problems.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think the two, honestly, 3-5 is looks bad. If they go to 3-6, then it's over. If they go to 4-5 and pull out a win here, they, I mean, honestly, if you're the Cowboys, every trick play that didn't work this week, try it again. Like, you throw the kitchen sink. You tell Micah, I know you don't want to, yeah, I know you want to get paid. You come back. Bland, you come back. DeMarcus Lawrence, if you can find a way back. Like, they need to throw everything. They need to trade for three players in the offseason. They just need to go all in on this game. All in, Maggie.
Yeah, I've heard that. I just don't understand. If you're going to run the fake punt, right, why such a high degree of difficulty play? You're already running a fake.
Well, clearly the play didn't work.
No, like, it didn't work. Yeah. But then you're basically throwing a back shoulder fade.
No, that wasn't meant to be a back shoulder fade. They thought the guy was going to be uncovered.
Yeah, and they sniffed it out. The Falcons sniffed it out.
I mean, by the way,
you don't have like an escape, like a emergency. All right, if the play breaks up, then go to this guy. Well, Do anything else.
It got into the, can you shove him because he's a gunner. Like, I always find that interesting. Like, so there's no pass interference on that play. That hurt them.
Yeah.
Because that probably would have gotten flagged.
855-212-4227. All right, lots more to do, including your thoughts on what happened between Jason Kelce and a fan at Penn State. Fan says something derogatory about Travis Kelce, Jason's brother, and Taylor Swift. And Kelce took the phone and Gronk spiked that thing into oblivion. Was he in the right, or does he have to just keep walking? 855-212-4227.
All right, sports fans, listen up. 1 in 8 men will be diagnosed with prostate cancer, and bladder leaks can be a side effect. That's why Depend is teaming up with the Prostate Cancer Foundation to encourage screening, because health is a long game, and it's yours to win. Here's the cool part. Through November, Depend is contributing up to $300,000 to prostate cancer research by donating 40 cents for every purchase of shields, guards, and RealFit products. Void in Mississippi. Learn more at Depend.com.
Time to go. I have to go to class.
Why don't you call me sometime when you have no class?
Let's find out who made the grade after this weekend's college football action.
He is totally going to kill at college.
What, like it's hard?
As of this moment, they're on double secret probation.
Maggie and Perloff hand out their college report card.
Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, son.
That's your opinion.
Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff Show. I keep hearing that I could not get into the college I got into now. Like, it's impossible to get into college.
Everyone keeps saying that. Yeah.
Is that true? I think it is true. And especially the big state schools that are cheaper, I heard they're like impossible. Like, for example, we're about to talk about Penn State. I heard that you need to be basically a Mensa genius to get into Penn State right now.
Well, maybe someone could help James Franklin.
Yeah, but then you add, you know, they get super drunk, then they're going to come after everybody.
Well, it's the yin and the yang.
After 18 beers, we're all the same person.
we're all Mensas, or none of us are Mensas. I'm not sure really how that works after 18 beers.
Yes, you are. Yeah. You've been there.
Yeah, I've been. All right, EJ's going to give us somebody. We'll give him a grade.
All right, let's stay in state college. Let's go to James Franklin, who lost it with a fan. Lost the game. It was just an overall bad Saturday for James Franklin's Nittany Lions, who lost to Ohio State 20-13.
I mean, I think you can't grade him on a curve. You got to talk about the big games And now, instead of big game James, it's mid game James is what I saw
now?
In The Athletic. Well, it's more evidence. I think you got to give him a D. You want to know why? Because everyone knew this was going to happen. EJ's mom's an alum. She couldn't even watch the game. You go to the numbers, 1-13 versus top 5, 3-18 versus top 10. It's a D, Pearl.
It's a whatever the grade is for the definition of insanity, doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results. But honestly, I don't think anyone even expected different results.
No.
I think there was a quiet resignation on the entire country that this game was going to be something like 20-12 or 20-13. And it was. I agree. I co-signed the D. I was going to give a C for a perfectly average, actually, because everything about James Franklin is perfectly average at Penn State.
Well, they didn't score an offensive touchdown, so.
But again,
I docked them for that.
Again, are you surprised at all?
No, they didn't last year either against Ohio State. EJ, who's next?
Let's go to Clemson, where the Tigers lost a home game to Louisville, 33-21. This was an ugly one. There were fans throwing stuff on the field at one point for a bad call. There was some really bizarre extra point attempts from Dabo. Instead of going in for two, you would think to cut the lead a little closer. What did you give Dabo Sweeney in this game?
I go C+. I watched that game by 33-21. It wasn't even that close.
No.
And by the way, like, Louisville's kind of down. Like, they're a little bit disappointed. They looked like the stronger, faster, better team from get-go on that one. I made the mistake of getting my hopes up on this Clemson team, and I'm a little mad at Dabo for that.
I got my hopes up, too. I picked them to win the ACC before the year, and I was like, oh, maybe I'm still alive. I'm not. This is Miami's world, and we're living in it.
Oh,
or maybe SMU's world. I don't know.
Wait, it's not Clemson's world. You do not say Miami and Clemson would be it. Who knows what would happen in that game? I'm not saying they're done.
But here's the thing.
Hey, Miami would.
Here's the thing.
Miami would kill Clemson?
You see that defense against Louisville? Yeah, they can't stop Miami.
Okay, so this is why you gave him a C+. I'm going to give him a D also, because we got roped in because they had won 6 straight. But take a little bit closer look at who Clemson was beating. Yeah, it's all teams with losing records. And now you face a Louisville team who, you're right, Perloff, maybe not the best. And they got smoked in that game. Louisville went out to a 26-7 lead, and it felt like that. Also, Clemson's defense ranked, I believe, 7th in the ACC. Mm-hmm. This is not a top unit anymore. So, D.
I gave
program's fallen off.
Phil Maffa, A+, by the way. I love me a big running back. He is sick for Clemson. Go ahead.
All right, let's go.
Isaac Brown gets an A+.
Let's go to what used to be called the world's largest outdoor cocktail party. Now it's just a Florida-Georgia game. Carson Beck threw 3 picks, but did come away with a win for the Bulldogs. So what are you giving Carson Beck this weekend?
I mean, he's got to have a C. 11 interceptions in the last 5 games. Was it 3 in this game?
3 in the first half, I believe.
Yeah. The multi-interception games. I'm going to say this about Carson Beck. Everything is, it's not looking right for him this year. If I were an NFL team, no shot. I don't want that headache at all.
Well, I think the NFL team's thinking like you're thinking. It pains me to watch him kill his draft stock in real time.
Yep.
It's just been, I was linking him to the Giants in my mind. I'm like, yeah, he looks like the next Giants quarterback. Now he looks like a third rounder. I mean, he looks like sort of like a worse version of Kenny Pickett or something. I don't know what's going on there.
Can I give maybe Georgia as a whole a little bit of kind of a C? They're the second ranked team in the country. The win over Texas was amazing. They lost to a shaky Alabama team. It took them far too long to put Kentucky away. It took them far too long, quite frankly, to put Florida away. Florida was down to their third string quarterback, Perloff, and I'm surprised you haven't mentioned this yet. A third string redshirt freshman walk-on who started his career at Yale. You're Georgia. How is this a game in the fourth quarter? I know they end up winning by 2 scores, but if you were watching the game, it felt a little in the balance a lot longer than you thought.
Yeah, but that win over Texas was their last game. Like, so which, you know,
that's what
which team are you judging?
They're inconsistent.
Right, but does that matter really, like, when they get to the playoff? Like,
I think it might.
What, just because they let Kentucky and Florida hang around, does that mean they're not going to destroy whoever's in front of them?
I think it might. I think this is shaky. I don't have tons of confidence right now in Georgia.
Yeah,
are they going to beat Ole Miss?
Say it was Georgia. against Oregon. We saw what Georgia did when it's like focus and on point against Texas. Like, does that make you feel comfortable? They're going to be favored in that game. It doesn't matter. That's what I'm saying. Like, these games might not matter. Like, they might just not be up for them.
There you go. Your college football report card. A lot of low grades.
Yeah, I know. Like, this segment is a little wonky because it's like, there's not much of a debate. Like, who's sticking up for James Franklin today?
Well, he does win a lot of games. Just...
Sure, you got some family members out there.
Who's sticking up for James Franklin today?
It sounds like Penn State. Yeah. I don't know. The people who make decisions on his contract, I think, are sticking up for him.
Whoever those weirdos are, who the Board of Regents of Penn State is, even they might be like, oh, how do we get out of this? I mean, it's got to be. Right now, I can't imagine there's even a glint of optimism. Well, I know he's getting the playoff, but like, does anyone expect him to do anything there?
Maybe the Florida job is probably going to open up.
Can I give you guys a potential Penn State new head coach?
Who?
Coach Prime.
Penn State?
Oh, wow.
Bring Coach Prime to Penn State.
Oh, my
just,
God.
They need to just do the most radical thing. And I'm not the biggest Deion guy. I think they need to do the most radical thing and just change everything up. Everything there is too safe.
I was thinking, why would Coach Prime want to go to Happy Valley? Like, what's the point of that?
They'll pay him a ton.
I know, recruiting, but it's bad enough.
It's a great recruiting area. The Pennsylvania, Ohio Valley.
But like,
there's
Florida.
So many great players. He's not. We went to Colorado.
Yeah, I know.
I think he's going back to Florida, if anything.
I think, yeah, exactly. Like what Maggie said, I think you want to be in the ACC or SEC to go up there and play smash mouth football at Penn State. I don't know if that appeals to Deion.
I think that's the problem, right? Like, one of the things that I think has appealed a lot of kids to go to Ohio State is, like, they have this high-flying offense, and they're getting all these receivers to the first round. Like, Penn State, like we've said, they're boring. Like, you know, they have awesome uniforms, but the uniforms are kind of meh. The games are kind of so cool. No, they're cool, but like, there's nothing flashy about Penn State.
Yeah,
right?
Now they have just wildly athletic defensive ends who have no sacks in college. That's like their big thing, drawing card now. They're right. They got Drew Aller, the number one recruit in the country. That was a big deal. But even he has been completely sort of, he's good, but it's been disappointing.
How many times have they gotten the top quarterback and that guy turned out to be nothing? They had Christian Hackenberg, who was a phenom.
Oh, God.
And that was
that's
nothing.
A low blow.
It's true. And I hate to say this. I mean, I root for Penn State. I'm a Miami fan. But again, I have Penn State alums in my household, or at least my former household. Like,
they had Justin Fields, too.
They lost him at the last second. Something just needs to change. They just need to do something radical, even if it doesn't work. I kind of feel like that guy. Sorry, go ahead.
What a nightmare it would be to have Deion. Like, that is such a May-December type of relationship, I would think.
No, if I'm in the SEC and there's already just, it's chaos already, like, say you're Auburn or somebody, like, I would want.
Or Florida.
Or Florida, well, yeah. But would you want, if you're a program that needs to take a big swing, is Florida that program? I feel like Florida should be able to, they have all the resources to build the normal way. I don't know if they need to go Deion.
They haven't been able to find a coach.
Yeah, they're organizationally, something's weird there. It's the problems with Dan Mullins, the problem with Napier.
It's the expectations. They're just sky high. And that's how it would be for Penn State as well. Deion Sanders and Happy Valley.
Nah, that's...
I can't see it.
I think it's the worst geographical fit I got.
he's going
to recruit. He wants to recruit Florida and Georgia.
It's easier to recruit Florida and Georgia in Pennsylvania than Colorado.
Yeah. Well, Colorado, you get L.A., though. I don't know.
I think Deion Sanders, with those athletes in Ohio Valley, I think he would build a and a lot of those players that keep going to Ohio State, he'll get some of those guys to go to Penn State.
Can you put a poll out? Deion Sanders as the next head coach of Penn State, the best idea you've ever heard or the worst idea you've ever heard? Bogush has headlines for us on this fine Monday.
These headlines are sponsored by Mint Mobile. Switch and get half off unlimited premium wireless at mintmobile.com/score. We haven't seen the Chiefs yet here in Week 9. They host the Buccaneers tonight. The Ravens aren't technically the closest team to them in the AFC standings, but Baltimore still looks like KC's biggest threat.
Lamar fakes the delayed handoff. Now he fires down the middle. He's got a man wide open. That's Zay Flowers at the 30-yard line. Breaks a tackle. He's to the 20. Flowers to the 10. 5. Touchdown! Zay Flowers! Oh, what a catch! and run!
Jerry Sandusky, Ravens Radio, Zay Flowers catching two of Lamar Jackson's three touchdown passes in a 41-10 rout of the Broncos. Lamar had a perfect passer rating after missing two practices last week.
I knew what the assignment was. You know, I definitely studied those guys. Getting with Coach T and just putting in extra work just because I was not there, just watching practice and studying film on those guys, that pretty much helped.
That is QB Coach T Martin. Derrick Henry threw in 106 yards and two TDs on the ground, becoming the third player ever with seven straight seasons of double-digit rushing scores. The Ravens are a dropped Kyle Hamilton INT last week in Cleveland, away from being on a seven-game win streak.
How did the Ravens, they've lost to the Raiders and the Browns. Is that unbelievable? The Raiders and the Browns are going to be like the 3-4 pick in the draft.
The Lions are 7-1, their best start since the 50s after a 24-14 final at Lambeau. The Commanders 7-2, their best start since 96 after downing the Giants 27-22, and it's four straight wins for the Eagles, holding off the Jaguars 28-23. A dud for the Colts on Sunday Night Football Minnesota. After switching to Joe Flacco last week, the offense didn't put points on the board until the fourth quarter of a 21-13 loss. The Vikings staying within reach because Sam Darnold committed three turnovers.
We played a really clean game as an offense, besides my turnovers.
It was a great play, Mrs. Lincoln, except for Darnold did settle down enough to throw three second-half TDs for the win. On a five-game skid, those Raiders fired OC Luke Getsy, O-line coach James Craig, and QB coach Rich Scangarello last night, all three, of course, in their first year with the club. Oregon's number one in the AP college football poll for the third week in a row. This time, the Ducks, the unanimous choice. Good timing with the first CFP rankings coming tomorrow night. Penn State is number six after losing to Ohio State. Luka Doncic, 32 points, 9 rebounds, 7 assists in the Mavs 108-85 rout of Orlando last night. Tonight, the Sixer comeback probably begins. Paul George should make his season debut when they play in Phoenix, and maybe Joel Embiid isn't far behind either. Rawlings and MLB thought a Sunday night was a good time to unveil Gold Glove winners. 14 first-time winners this season, including Royals shortstop Bobby Witt Jr.
What the hell was that about?
They always do it. I think this might be the start of awards week for them, and this is how they do it on a Sunday night.
I feel like I saw this at like 11 p.m.
Yeah.
But just like do it today.
Yeah. No, I know. And again, does anyone care either way? I don't know. But I don't know how you drop anything on a Sunday night.
I almost didn't think it was real because people were talking about it. I was like, no, this has to be fake news. Like, this can't be
a
real award drop at 10 p.m. Eastern.
Can't wait for them to wait to announce MVPs on Super Bowl Sunday.
That'd be awesome. But by the way, is Gold Glove still a thing? Because in the home run era, I feel like fielding is less important. And it is still the home run era despite some changes.
Ask the Yankees if fielding is important right now.
Yeah.
But did anyone on the Yankees win a Gold Glove? Because that would be hilarious.
I just generally think like every year we're kind of like topping the home run, like launch angle and all that stuff. I just feel like when I was a kid, like Ozzie Smith was like a game changer. I don't know if you can still have that anymore. Like Bobby Witt Jr., is he really that good as a fielder?
Yes. Very good.
I think outfield defense also is like very important now too.
Is it really?
I bet Aaron Judge probably won one, didn't he? He might have. He's really good.
Yeah, I'm trying to think now
had Soto and Volpe nominated.
I don't think Judge was even a finalist in center field.
Yeah, don't question it.
That's the other thing.
Did you say, don't question it?
Yeah. The Gold Glove, in theory, in defense matters, but the Gold Glove nominees, which is where the real like baseball conversations happen, because they had guys nominated in positions they didn't play predominantly. They had guys who shouldn't have been a finalist that were a finalist. So we still don't know how to quantify defense at this point in baseball.
Which is bizarre, because there actually are numbers that kind of show you. I would just vote for the guy like Francisco Lindor, not to be a Mets guy, but him not being nominated, ridiculous. I mean, just their defensive metrics that kind of just show who the best guys are. Just pick the top three, four guys, and then pick one.
So no Yankees, as far as I can see.
Yeah.
No. I don't think anybody here in New York won.
No.
And I don't even think, like, you said Soto and Volpe were finalists?
Volpe and, I guess, Severino were the only three New Yorkers.
Okay. We're finalists. Yeah.
Well, they didn't win.
But I don't think you could have, like, Omar Vizquel hitting, like, 225 and being. I mean, maybe you could, but I feel like you have to hit more. It's like, I mean, the balance has shifted. Okay, a little.
I watched Harrison Bader play center field for the Mets and whatever he was hitting.
Yeah, but like Perloff and I grew up in a time where Rafael Santana hit 210 and played shortstop every day for the Mets because he played ridiculous defense. Yeah, right, that guy doesn't. That those guys have been dead for a long time.
Yeah, yeah, right, right, right.
But we still care about how the way guys field the ball.
Who did Lindor lose to?
He didn't even make
Ezekiel
it.
Ezekiel Tovar.
Yeah, the Rocky shortstop.
Okay. Player.
He was crazy good, though, this year. He deserved that.
Last thing for me, a Monday morning wake-up courtesy of Overtime Hockey in Minnesota.
Spurgeon trying to win the foot race, and he will. And he'll spring it ahead. It's a 2-0. Boldy from Rossi. Boldy, and he scores!
What a play by the captain. And what a finish by number 12.
They didn't win the Stanley Cup. They just won a game yesterday, 2-1 over Toronto.
Clock? Has someone done that already?
That's a great idea.
The goal horn? Or just, the eruption of the crowd in Minnesota.
Well, everything. You know, maybe you get to an alarm clock for whatever your favorite team is. And all of a sudden, the alarm clock goes from 6:59 to 7. It's just like, he shoots, he scores!
Yeah, and the Ranger like goal this. Song starts.
Okay. Trying to start divorces, Maggie. You know what I mean? Men be
this is for single people.
Maggie woke up to Tyler Bass's field goal this morning.
Oh my gosh, I completely scared everybody with my social media posts. I was scary.
Yeah, what's going on here?
I was scary. I didn't realize how scary it looked.
What'd you do?
I was on the treadmill, so I was breathing kind
of
heavy.
The sweating was a lot.
It was a lot of sweat.
It was a lot of sweat.
Guys, I get nervous, and so I got to get out my anxiety on the treadmill. So I got the quad box going with the red zone and my laptop. I got a nice little setup, but I'm walking at 4.0 at 4 incline for like an hour and a half.
That's a big burn, Maggie. That's
I'm
during
nervous.
The games?
Yes.
To get your energy out.
If the Bills are trailing in the second half, I'm on the treadmill. Because what am I going to do? Like pace around my house and just be a total weirdo?
But how do you text your Tyler Bass thread if you're on the treadmill? You can do that too?
Well, that's why it's the 4.0 speed at 4. I'm walking. If I was jogging, it'd be harder. Also, voice notes. I mean, I got plenty of ways.
Wait, by the way, did you want them to try the field goal?
I'll tell you exactly what I thought was happening. Where now we're talking about the Buffalo ending of the Bills-Dolphins game. I thought they were playing for overtime.
Yeah,
they were, except the Dolphins committed two of the most stupid penalties of all time, and it put the Bills in field goal position.
Was that when the Poyer one was?
Yeah, the Poyer, when he hit him in the helmet.
That was a nice parting gift to the from the former
Definitely.
Bill.
Definitely.
Oh, my goodness. And then he's like, I didn't do anything wrong. It's like, Jordan Poyer, everyone loves you around here, but you can't just go spearing people with
the
helmet.
Okay, Roddy Harrison.
Yeah. And then they had an encroachment. So it's like...
Okay, we'll do it.
that's going to do it. And by the way, the dude had hit a 61-yarder, and he hasn't been able to hit an extra point all year long. No one was more shocked than me, but I realized the sweating, the heavy breathing, the cursing, the deep voice that I had, it was all bad. I get this. I realize this now.
There's also an expectation when you put up the parental advisory over your mouth that there would be a bleeping of the cursing.
I couldn't figure it out, EJ. Something is going on with my Instagram. I've been able to bleep out my curses before, but for some reason this time I couldn't, and it was taking too long, and I'm like, I'm just going to post it. I probably like cost myself future employment at many places, hopefully not at this place, for putting that curse word up like I did.
Ah, you'll be fine. This is the era of crude.
Well, thanks. I love that associated with my brand. But I was saying before, I can always tell when I've done something that crosses the line because my husband, he's so supportive, but he'll say, well, it's your job. You got to do it because it's your job. Like, oh, that's such a nice way for you to tell me I look like a freak.
This video is crazy. I'm watching it again.
I'm sorry. And now I want to take it down so bad, but it's like, it's up there. Everyone's
the video without the sound, it just...
I saw it the first time.
Oh my
I can't
gosh.
Tell what's going on.
Well, they're about to line up. I'm like, all right, I'm going to turn the camera myself. I'm just going to live this. Like, I live the 13 seconds game, and they replay that on the afternoon show maybe 100 times a day.
It's like you're running for something, but you're on a treadmill, so you can't get away. You're just like...
I know. I look goofy.
Somebody help Maggie.
I get it. It's my own fault.
It's the Bills' fault.
Is it a Bills field goal or a slasher in Maggie's house? You'll never know.
Is it still Halloween? What's the timestamp on this video?
Honestly, someone's going to come dressed as me next year just looking like an absolute lunatic. And I wouldn't blame you. Yeah, my bad, everybody. Don't play that around your kids.
Well, if I can't be sexy Jim Leland next year, I'll be sweaty treadmill man.
I've already called it. I'm already working on the costume. Can't come in and just poach it away from me. Sexy Jim Leland is mine. I've already got the fake cigarettes. 855-212-4227. Bogues, thanks. Fantastic job. Coming up, we have a question about a rookie quarterback that we need answers.
This guy's been awful this season. Already missed an extra point. Doinked another one. 60-yarder. Can he do it? Is he going to do it? Yeah, finally! 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 Finally!
You're listening to Maggie and Perloff on the Infinity Sports Network.
Finally. If I were, that was me on the treadmill yesterday watching the Bills win because their kicker has been pretty erratic this year, Pearl, and he nailed a 61-yarder, and yeah, that scared some people. Scared some people.
Where's the camera when this happened?
I was holding it. Like, so in my hand.
Okay. Oh, I see. Okay.
Because I usually have it on Red Zone with, I got the quad box, I got the Red Zone on the phone, and then I've got an extra laptop
and you're
on the bed.
And you're exercising all of this simultaneously.
I'm walking a 4.0 speed on 4.0 incline, so I'm not going like heavy sprints. But can, in my own defense on that, I was alone in my house. Does that make it any better? My husband and my young child were not in the house.
No.
So this is me alone. I get a lot crazier than that.
I think you'd be less crazy when you're alone.
No. I can really be myself when I'm alone. Then I get really crazy. And for some reason, I decided to turn the camera on myself. I wasn't sure what I would do. I thought it would be crying. Tears, but.
That would have been dangerous because you're on a treadmill.
I could slip and fall. 855-212-4227. Perloff, why are the Bears not good right now?
Well, they're not. They're just not a great team. There are a lot of reasons why. I don't think they're well coached. I don't think Caleb Williams is ready to really be a robust starter. Keenan Allen is definitely washed. I mean, where do you want me to start? I would say, by the way, like, they're just not a very well coached team right now.
I think it probably starts with that. I think that the fact, I understand it's human nature, but the fact that Tyrique Stevenson, you know, apparently was told he's not going to be starting because of his role in the Fail Mary against the Commanders the week before and then didn't show up to practice. I get human nature. I get you're ticked off. You're already mad at yourself and you don't want it to be, you know, double down, but you've got to be able to put the team before yourself in that instance, you know?
Oh, yeah, yeah. But who cares about that? The question is Caleb Williams' development. He was so bad. People are forgetting the Hail Mary game. He was utterly terrible.
He's been bad the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, he was 4 of 16 for 33 yards, I think, through three quarters. That offense is totally broken. So I just think the problem is we just got overexcited about this team. We watch Hard Knocks and Caleb Williams and the spinning out of sacks. Like, they're just not ready. I mean, but the reality is they have a rookie quarterback. So what has happened to us where we can't recognize that this team has a rookie quarterback and we should give them time? Because it was a preseason trades that, like, we overestimated those.
Well, but here's the thing. There is a little bit, it's not unfair to have some kind of expectation.
Why, though? But he's a rookie.
Okay, rookie, but generational talent, which I know we throw around a lot. Jaden Daniels is playing well, and I wouldn't say the Commanders are this way better roster than the Bears are.
Yeah, I mean, no, you're right. Jaden Daniels, 2 years older, probably a better quarterback. I think we saw it last year. He's probably just a better player than Caleb Williams. And also, he's got Cliff Kingsbury. And Caleb Williams has an unknown, really. Shane Waldron had some success in Seattle with Geno Smith, but it's not working now.
Yeah, but Cliff Kingsbury was also a punchline not that long ago. Remember we had to buy a one-way ticket to Thailand? I mean, sounds nice, actually. But that was because he was running from, what, the failure of Arizona.
Yeah, but everyone knew Cliff could dial up plays. That was never... Nobody was like, oh, man, this guy doesn't know what he's doing play calling. He's not a good head coach. Obviously, his problem is that he was a good head coach the first 2 months of the season or the first 6 weeks, then he fell apart. Yeah, I mean, I think you got to be patient. I think you said it beautifully coming in the season. Like, it should have been get rid of Eberflus, don't go halfway, just start over with a new coach. Now they're going to have to do it next year, probably, or maybe.
Are we not talking about this as a Belichick destination?
Ugh. We want to develop Caleb Williams, right? We want an offensive coach.
Right, but when Josh McDaniels is not the head coach, and I guess you know, Mac Jones, they made the playoffs that first year.
He and threw then it four went passes all... in one game.
Yeah, but that was just to win the game. There's 50-mile-an-hour wins in that game.
Oh,
he
gosh.
Should have thrown fewer passes.
No, I really think if they don't go with an offensive head coach after having Eberflus this year, you got to, you know, it's the old thing. You got to go the opposite of what you have. You cannot go Belichick. You got to try and get a Ben Johnson or some high-octane type.
Star quarterback going for an MRI. Need we say more? Unpack it next.